Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love our work and love sharing how astrology is relevant to our lives and yours every week. Because we see astrology as a practical tool, something we can taste, feel, touch, and use to make our lives better. Now, this has been a rough week astrologically, but before we get into that, and we'll talk about what's been going on, sympathize, tell our retrograde stories, we want to introduce ourselves. I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I live in Minnesota on the banks of the Mississippi. And I'm joined by Mark.
Mark Wolf, mm-hmm. on the banks of the Hudson River.
And Ann Ortley, on the banks of the East River.
All right.
In Manhattan. Also, Mark and I both are Manhattan astrologers. And Heather used to be before she moved away and went off to the far reaches of the middle of the country.
Yes, far reaches of the mid-country,
where we
have a growing astrological scene. It's really quite wonderful. We have Ariel Gutman coming up from New Mexico to talk about the Venus point in astrology and the whole cycles of Venus in our charts and what it means to, you know, current politics and our life and how to work with it and how to work with it in comparison charts coming up on April 21st. I'm quite excited about that.
Well, that's very cool. She's a really good lecturer.
She is. How about you two? Yeah. Have you have any wonderful astrological things that people should not miss in your neck of the woods?
No.
Well, we have the Open Center every Tuesday.
Yep. Open Center.
Yes.
Where we talk.
7:30.
They just had Astrology Day last week, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
We did the Uranus Pluto square, the opening square.
Wonderful.
So that was the lecture for that was excellent. So.
On the summer solstice, which is one of the first opening squares, exact points this year, we're having an experiential astrological piece with a local astrologer, Ira Gordon, which is going to be pretty interesting. I'll see what that is going to be. And you said that you are moving your Tuesday night astrological talk. Normally it's been at the Open Center. Is it going to stay at the Open Center, or you said you're moving?
Well, it is. It's actually... the Open Center is in a building that's owned by a church, and the church has some rooms that are attached to the same corridor as the
Open Center. Ah, wonderful.
So we're basically going to be shifting into a community room because we don't have a space right now at the Open Center, but everyone will arrive through the Open Center, so we'll use the same
door. Wonderful. So you'd just be down the hall.
Turn.
Yep. Yeah, down the hall. Literally, instead of taking the elevator, we keep walking on down the hall. So it should be fun.
Yeah.
Marvelous.
And one of our members suggested it.
That's really great.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night I'm teaching, here we have our Living Astrology Chart Clinic once a month, which is on
Good.
The first Tuesday of every month. So that's
and
what's going on with... Yes?
People can bring a chart?
Bring their charts, bring their case histories, and we'll talk astrology.
Good.
This week, and Mercury is absolutely stationary, so I don't know how it'll go tomorrow night. I think most of us have some interesting retrograde stories. Mercury's been retrograde for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It turns direct in the wee hours of April 4th, and will take a few days to really get going. Now, my Mercury retrograde story, or Mercury stationary story, where accidents of sleight of hand, sleight of thought occur. I took a long, beautiful walk at the dog park yesterday down by the river with the dogs, and the water is so low. We're walking along what is normally riverbed, and I was cleaning up trash as I go because that's my Virgoan offering to natural land when I'm on it.
To make it better.
And yeah, make it better. And I was putting it in my backpack. I had forgotten that I had put my wallet at the bottom of the backpack. And as we're leaving, I go to empty all the trash in the trash can, and I throw my wallet in there too.
Oh.
And don't realize it till I get home. Rush back, and of course they have emptied out the trash can.
Wow.
Now my hope for
security that's very efficient,
is that I emptied,
you know.
Very efficient. And I emptied into a trash can full of dog poo, so I don't think anybody's going to go through it.
Right.
But I still had to go through all of my cancel everything today, which was just so much fun.
Wow.
So I hope most people's retrograde, you know, stories are better than that. I saw a story of an English priest who was doing a talk for teachers at a school, parents at a school. It was going to show them a PowerPoint presentation on First Communion and giving back to the church. And as he plugged in his little zip drive or his little stick to the computer, out came, you know, images of male porn. And he pulled it out and ran out of the room and tried to pitch them for money. But all the parents were just totally traumatized at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I had a friend who had that happen. They were interviewing a guy, a scientist, down at the school she was at, and he came to do a presentation, and he put the zip drive in, and it was porn. And it started running, and he was like, you know, he didn't know how to turn it off, you know. And she said, bad enough, you know, that he's interviewing, but he doesn't even know how to stop the thing, you know. And he was kind of like trying to talk, like pretending it wasn't there, because, you know, he had all the people. She goes, he didn't get the job, you know. But it was like, can you believe it? I'm like, yeah. Mercury retrograde. Well, in our case, Mark and I, you know, we started at the Open Center when Mercury was retrograde, because it was a new space for us after East-West closed. And Mercury was at 7, Virgo, which is where Mars is now. And it was retrograde when we started in September 7th of 2010. So now in the full moon and Mercury-Mars retrograde, we're changing, you know, we're changing, but we're not changing. And we did used to change when we were at the Open Center. It was always they would do some new kind of reorg every time Mercury was retrograde. So it kind of was a little familiar, you know. It's like, okay, we're changing things. We know how this works. It's Mercury retrograde. It's time to change. So that was always fun. It's like, yeah. So, yeah, I don't think the guy's going to get any business from the families donating. They're like, what? What's on your computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and but this is so often with Mercury retrograde, I hear stories where people go to send a letter off to someone that they're totally ticked off about somebody, and they send it to the person that they're talking about.
Right.
Or people who send letters to their lover, but they send it to their husband's address.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, Mercury likes to catch you and expose you.
Yes, it is a trickster that way.
He's like, yeah. Oh, you didn't want to send it there. You wanted to send it here. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very cool.
Well, definitely. If it happened yesterday on Mercury retrograde, at least you could say, oh, it was only an April Fool's joke.
Right.
If only good to my wallet, that.
Right, if only you could get your wallet.
So Mercury is stationary at the moment. It turns direct on Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. And then we head into a Venus-Neptune square and a Sun-Neptune sesquisquare over the weekend. So, you know, forget about getting anything clear and direct until a few days from now,
right?
Until next week. You know, it's going to take a while to straighten out the misunderstandings, mm-hmm. to step forward one step at a time, to assume that people don't know. And if they do know, make everything, instead of a battlegrounds, a teaching moment. How can we speak our truth in the moment? I'm hearing so many misunderstandings that just snowball. And if I say, we can slow it down and say, did you know that you just offended me? You know, rather than going off in a huff. How can we make it a teaching moment? Can we do that in relationship issues? If they come up and are with Mercury in Aquarius in Pisces right now, we're so sensitive, and our feelings get hurt so easily. And when we get hurt, when Mercury is in Pisces, when Mercury's in Aries, we shoot off and get mad. But when Mercury is in Pisces, people, I'm noticing, are tending to shut down and sulk or feel hurt rather than speak up. And the moment is lost to explain what happened, to teach the other person. So it's important that we speak up and just say, my feelings were hurt by that. Not, you're bad, but, ow, did you mean to do that? Mm-hmm. And it could be that they don't mean to do that. Or if they did, may not have known that it would upset you or offend you.
Mm-hmm. Right, they might figure that you wouldn't notice.
Right.
It's Mercury retrograde, after all, you know.
Right. That's the trickster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I find it's always helpful to ask people, too, did you mean, let me just validate what I heard you say. Did you mean to say this? And they go, yeah. And you go, okay. So then I am insulted. But if you, you know, if I heard it wrong, you know, it remind Mercury retrograde always reminds me of my grandmother. She didn't have a hearing. She had a hearing aid, but she didn't want to get a new one. And she would hear people say mean things. And we'd be like, Grandma, you can't hear. And she'd be like, well, I don't need a new hearing aid because I'm going to die soon. But then she would get all bent out of shape because somebody said something mean to her, and it'd be like, you can't hear anything. You're deaf as a post. But she would get mad. And so with Mercury retrograde, you know, the whole idea is verify, because it does
verify
to get you to run off mad. And so your best bet is to go, okay, Mercury, you're not going to trick me. I'm going to check that that's actually what they meant to say. Then if they say, yeah, that is what I meant to say, then you can get mad. But, you know, at least verify that they really meant what they said. Because oftentimes it's not, you didn't hear it right, there was a miscommunication. How many times on Mercury retrograde do you ask for coffee with cream and you get coffee black? Or vice versa. You know, people just don't listen so well or don't hear. Or they process, they hear you and then they do the exact same thing. Last week in class I kept calling this one woman whose name is Gisela. Every time I looked at her I said Gretchen. And Gretchen, of course, is in the class too, and she's like, It's not Gretchen. It's Gisela. It's not Gisela. It's not Gretchen. It's Gisela. I'm like, I know your name. I really do. And then I'd open my mouth and say it wrong again. And it was almost like, you know, I had to pause every time I went to say her name because, you know, I was going to say it wrong. So it is a common misspeaking, too. So we want to kind of watch that energy. So.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask people to call in with their Mercury retrograde questions or their Mercury retrograde stories. And the number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881.
Right.
And do we have anybody in the list?
We do. We have a couple callers, but before we take them, I think we ought to talk about Venus going into Gemini.
Yes,
because she's going to be in Gemini. For 100,
we're going to throw our nerves on 126
days.
Wow.
So normally Venus runs through a sign in about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But because she's going to go retrograde, she's going to be in Gemini for 126 days, 110 of them retrograde or in her shadow. Now, Gemini is a nice placement for the most part for Venus. We like Venus there. But we do find, you know, because Mercury is retrograde, just stationing to go direct, and Venus is entering it like now, that one of your jobs is going to be really about being very clear about what you desire. And, of course, because she's in an indecisive sign, no offense to the Venus and Gemini people, she's going to be kind of bouncing back and forth between, do I want this? Do I want that? Do I want this? Do I want that? So we start that journey through the end of August. Or the middle of August, Venus is going to be in Gemini. So we start that tomorrow, and we should feel a quantum change. And then, of course, she goes to square Neptune on Thursday. So she finds out what her journey is about then, what the new dream is that she's pulling in. Because Venus, as she aspects Neptune, she's always about the desire, the dream that we hold in our heart, the desire we have. So you guys have anything?
Yeah, the correct answer for Venus and Gemini is I'll have one of each.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Both, please.
Yes.
Both, please.
Like
all
one,
the above.
Or would you like that one? I'll take
mm-hmm.
both.
Both, yeah.
And that's a happy Venus and Gemini.
So we have Venus in a mutable sign, Mars in a mutable sign, both very kind of bi-gendered, bi-energy signs. Both ruled by Mercury. It's going to be hard to keep, and Mercury, the ruler of both Venus and Mars, is retrograde, turning direct and stuck stationary, which Mercury hates to be stationary most of all. So it's going to be a kind of a frazzly couple of days. Everything we put down will tend to get lost before we pick it back up again. So we really need to track what we say, what we feel, what we do, and to actually bring anything to completion. In this frazzly, nervy, disjointed energy can come up new options, new ideas that we'd forgotten about, stuff that we couldn't imagine because we normally wouldn't consider it, but it's our options are full, And we'll have to sort out later which options are worthwhile running with, but you notice it's like lots of seedlings popping up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like being at the gardening store where everything's got possibility to become a plant. You just have to put a little ground and a little water and a little sunshine on it, and it's ready to go.
Right.
So, and I do think
we also have to, in terms with that, we also have to be a little careful how our relationships can go, because it's a wonderfully flirtatious time.
Yes.
But with that can also become a flirtatious time away from relationship stability.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to be a little careful with that.
Yeah, partners can feel a little insecure with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going to be indecisive because it's also Venus rules Saturn and Jupiter. So they're going to find that a lot of the things that they thought they really were clear about, now they're going to go, maybe not so clear. Which is good, because she really wants to be clear before she makes the commitment. So it's good. All right.
So shall we put someone on the
line? Yes, we've got three callers on the line. So anybody else wants to call with a question for us, we will. I have got somehow my Skype is calling in saying system notice online.
Let's see if we can make it through all three at least.
Yep, okay.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Anne. Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark. It's
hi.
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Not good. That's why I'm calling.
How can we help you?
Okay.
What's your birth information?
June 29th, 1959, 11:10 p.m., Queens, New York.
And what's up?
Just really quick, for the last 2 weeks, I want to know what's in my chart that is making me want to sleep, uncreative, crying, sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like wham, really bad, like out of the literally out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the blue.
So it was like, why
it
am I feeling
like
so
it,
bad? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks
like it
now.
Happened. Just as Mercury retrograded back into Pisces and, you know, sending you back into this review session after you were beginning to feel, it looks like about 8 months ago when your progressed moon went into Aries, because your natal moon is in Taurus, progressed moon went into Aries and you began to feel like, hey, I'm getting somewhere. You've been going through the really tough transit of Uranus opposed to Sun for the last couple of years. And it felt, you know, began to feel like there was some improvement coming. But then when Mercury retrograded back in Pisces, it may feel like you had kind of lost all of your momentum and gone back into the mess.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be long. Uranus is coming up to your south node. Mercury is going to conjunct Uranus again in Aries within a few weeks. And begin to form a nice trine to your natal Mercury, your natal Uranus, your natal Mars, your natal Venus, and help you kind of kick into gear and get things done. This emotional review session is just a time to really be very tender with yourself and don't think this is going to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what do you see?
Well, I know that one of your concerns was the friends, you know, the situation with your friend and with your son, so that you've got those two energies are really getting, you know, the sun is getting the square from the opposition from Pluto. So that should clear, and Pluto's going to station in a couple of days next week, and that should help that a lot because it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off and it'll feel a little better. And, of course, Pluto natally is in your seventh house, which is the friend's house. So you've got those two stories that are running kind of concurrently about, you know, how just to restructure. And I think the moon in Taurus is a very, you know, it's a really sensitive, emotional moon. And it right now is getting the sextile from Neptune in the first house. So you're crying. I mean, crying is really what you're supposed to be doing. You know, it is a time of tears.
And letting go.
And saying love and connection and family and, you know, these things are really important to me because I have a Taurus moon in the second house and I'm a Cancer sun, so I really value the people I love. And I need to really know that one of the things that with the Neptune sextiling that moon, and Neptune, of course, is in the eighth house. I fear the loss of them, but that I have to sit in a place of love, because when we get right down to it, that's all we really have. What is the love? How do we love? And you do have a grand trine in Earth, you know, so there's a real solidness in your chart. But it's knowing that the tears are really, I think, a necessary release for you now. So letting them flow.
It also looks, I would say that I would go back to the first few months, even year of your life, when your progressed moon was just, you know, perfecting that grand trine in Earth, and the feeling like, you know, that material security was extremely important then. And to know that right now you're in a letting go phase. Neptune is opposing your Pluto in the seventh house. But that's a clearing for new, it feels like there's a whole new crop of people coming into your life.
Mm-hmm.
But in this process, and I don't know your story, I don't know what's going on, but in this process, if you may have to let go of what was in order to begin to create room for what can be. But while you're holding on to the old form, it hurts like hell. It's like sand in the wound. And I would not ask yourself to do anything other. If you can really let it go and mourn it, it will come back in a new form and in a new way once Mercury goes into Aries. But in this time, it is the changing, it's like the changing of the seasons. It's like a leaf, a tree letting go of leaves so it can have new leaves in the spring.
Okay. And this would cause you to sleep a lot.
Hmm?
I'm sorry.
What was that, Mark?
I was saying it is definitely a letting go time, and you will feel more of that, and there will be, you know, it's some of it won't feel light on its way out, but you have to let it go and use your moon in Taurus. The nice thing about moon in Taurus is that it allows you to know that you actually have everything you need. And so as some things are removed, just let them go and realize, well, I guess I was ready to let go of that, and I see that I don't actually need it. I have what I need. So stay focused on that. And keep things simple.
Okay. Would this cause you to be very tired?
Mm-hmm.
Mercury in Pisces, I think you need a lot of sleep right now. If you can give yourselves another week or so of sleeping extra.
Okay.
And then when Mercury goes into Aries, I think you'll be moving forward and have more energy. The Mercury in Pisces is asking you to do a lot of work in dream time. It's asking most of us.
My dreams have been very lucid, actually.
Right, and that you're doing a lot of work on the astral plane and on the dream world rather than in the waking world, and that's why you need to sleep so much right now.
Okay, and when does that go into Aries?
On the 17th.
Yeah.
This month.
Of April, yeah. He's in Pisces the early part of the month, and then he shifts at the end of the month on the 17th. Right after the Mars goes direct. So when Mars goes direct, then Venus goes into Aries, or Mercury goes into Aries, and Mars is answering to Mercury. So we'll all feel, this next couple weeks, we'll feel like we're back in the bog. You know, we got out of it when it went into fire a couple weeks ago, but now we're back swimming in the water again. And it's highly emotional time, because it's really about, you know, we got clear, and we were like, okay, I'm going to release that, and then the universe said, are you sure you want to? And we went, no, maybe not, you know, and so we're all kind of having a little panic moment. If I let that go, what will come in? What will happen to me? What will, you know, so there's an anxiety there that's part and parcel of this. So we have to kind of know that Mercury in Pisces is anxious, and it wants to go to sleep, and it wants to cry a lot, and let it. The tears will stop, but they do need to come out. And the best way to get them out, and of course, the work you can't really do on the earth plane, you know, you can do on the astral plane. So that may be also why you're wanting to sleep so much. I hadn't thought of that, Heather, but that's a very good point. Because Pisces is about escaping the bounds we're in. Yeah.
Right. I think we're going to have to go on to the next caller.
Yep.
Good luck, Debbie.
All right. Thank you.
So say a lot of prayers. They also, the angels can help, but they can't help if you don't ask them.
Okay, yeah. Thank
right.
you.
Okay, and the next caller
up
again?
Is, hi, 206, how are you? Can you hear me?
Hi, yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good. You have a question for us?
Yeah, I had a question about Chiron return. It looks like I'm coming up on my Chiron return, and it's hard to find any kind of guidance about Chiron, although I think in my chart it's an important point. August 7th, 1962, at 2:12 in the morning in Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, 3:12, I'm sorry. Did I say 2?
3:12, okay.
Yeah, that would be my Mercury story. It just happened.
I know. August 7th, 1962, 3:12 in the morning in Honolulu. Okay, cool.
You got it.
You like that.
In my progress chart, you know, I've picked up a Mercury retrograde in my progress chart, I noticed just a while back, and I thought, well, I've got 3 retrogrades in my natal chart. Now I've got another one in my progress. I seem to be pedaling backwards.
Yes. It's the ability to ride a bike backwards is a wonderful skill, you know.
It's
not
a good
thing. Not to be diminished.
And it's also people who are bringing in a lot of information from other lives sometimes. And so, you know, people with a lot of retrograde planets tend to, you know what they be interested in, what they're interested in and not what they're not. So you were talking about your Chiron return. Your Chiron natally is at 9 Pisces, conjunct Jupiter. And Chiron right now is at 7 degrees of Pisces and coming up to
coming up,
conjunct
right.
that. Yeah, and you're natally, your Chiron is opposed Pluto, and your progressed moon is coming to conjunct that, is at 4 degrees of Virgo. So in 4 months, your progressed moon will be conjunct your natal Pluto and opposed your Chiron. So some really interesting reviews of life lessons, you know. And how do you see Chiron returns? I see it kind of coming back to our core lesson, our core healing moment.
Well, for her, Chiron being high in the ninth, it also speaks to some kind of, you know, story around the religious training when you were a child or the family belief systems, because it's joined to Jupiter. And because they're retrograde opposite the Pluto, and right now you're having a Pluto trine Pluto from the seventh house, you're being questioned about, and also a sextile to the Chiron, you're being asked to look at the core beliefs that you have that perhaps you've been a little rebellious about with Uranus in the third, but that you're now kind of trying to say, well, okay, I was given these core beliefs when I was a kid, and I'm a Leo, and I'm born on an eclipse, so I'm here to teach people how to find... You're born on an eclipse, August 7th, 62. Sun's on the north node, right? So look up that eclipse, because there's different eclipse families. When you're born on an eclipse, you have a special path. It's kind of like you said to God or whoever we talk to, keep me on my path, you know. And you also have Saturn in the finger of God. So you've got to, you know, you said, I want to go on my path. I don't necessarily, Saturn on the south node, believe in dogmatic teaching, but I need to evolve what my own individual beliefs are. So the Chiron return is a time to me to go back and look at the beliefs, especially the ones that were wounding or hurting around age 9.5 or 10, the age of your Chiron, your original Chiron awareness, that somehow there was something wrong with you, and integrate that and heal it. You know, we never actually heal the wound, but at the part that made you feel a bit like an orphan, speaking to that story and saying, okay, how do I heal that and integrate it? Mark, what do you see?
The Chiron return also sets you up to help other people. You become aware of who have similar issues to yourself. So you'll notice that, and you'll see, oh, I know what's going on with this person, and I have 2 or 3 words that just might help them. Maybe not in the moment. It might be later on. But you just have this feeling, I know what they need. And the more you can just quietly offer that, but don't try to direct the result, you'll realize that it's actually a gift.
I used to try to direct results, and I've given that up. I've become good friends with Saturn over the years. So.
Good. We love people that are friendly with Saturn. Yay! He's a good guy when you're friendly with him. When you're not, he can be kind of a meanie. But yeah, when you're bonded, you and Saturn get along. All right, the British lady
okay,
is speaking.
Okay, we're going to be cut off, so this
no,
is...
No, we aren't going to get
thank
cut
you
off.
So
we
much.
Just have to hang up. Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
Bye. Chiron return. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good
thank you.
Have a good week. And everybody use this Mercury retrograde week to straighten out misunderstandings and get yourself back on track. End of next week is a pretty competent time kicking in, so use this week to take care of personal business. This is Heather signing off from St. Paul, Minnesota.
And
Ann
signing off from New York City.
And Mark from New York City.
Yeah. So we'll see you all next week.
Take care.
Take care and have a good week. Bye.
Bye.